The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
Without being permissible or not. So that we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful. For example, if you're lending nappies, you know, a very low-quality nappy to somebody, you know, your neighbor, and then you turn around and you give them the Huggies or whatever the nappies is, a better quality, which is much more expensive, you have to be careful. You can't say, you know, don't worry about it. You know, I paid more for it. No, you have to be very careful about these things. So, is an issue of the Rabbonim. Now, there was a shaila, interesting shaila, brought down in the sefer called Mishnat Ribbis. So, once upon a time, somebody, a neighbor, borrowed some eggs. Six eggs. And what happened was, is that one of the eggs, they found a blood stain in one of the eggs. So obviously, you can't use. So therefore, it wasn't six eggs, really. They borrowed is really five eggs. One of the eggs they couldn't use. So how many eggs now does the neighbor have to return back to the neighbor? Is it five eggs or six eggs? You can think of it both ways, because really, I only received five eggs. I borrowed six eggs, but only five of them were useful. But now if I return six eggs, that could be ribbis. Or you could say, no, I only received five, so I'm returning five. What would you think?
You also better than that. What was you
doing? Sorry? Yeah, but I could only use five. Right. So we discount the fact that it was a blood, like you said very nicely, that you could be returning two eggs that have blood, you know. But we mark it in the market value of how much that dozen eggs cost. It costs whatever, 4 pounds, you're returning the value of 4 pounds of those eggs. We don't say that, oh, I couldn't use one of those eggs. That's not an argument over here. Now, the Shulchan Aruch does bring a het of Tamidei Chachamim. Tamidei Chachamim, that's mutter, so it's mutter that you can return things because they're very didactic in the sizes and the amounts. They're very didactic in these things. But that you have to be the Mefarshim of the Bris Yehuda says you have to be an extraordinary Talmid Chacham in order to really know Hilchos Ribbis properly in order to be exempt from these halachas of Shabbos. Okay, now let's say an example: you borrowed something from your neighbor, a cup of honey or whatever it is, milk, and now you don't know exactly how much it was. You don't know. You see the problem here. You don't know how much you bought. So therefore, if you give back too much less, if you give back less, therefore you're not really fulfilling your chiyuv of returning what you borrowed. If you return more because you want to make sure that you know your obligations are being filled, then you come into the problem of the ribbis. So it's like two sides of the coin here, which you are stuck. What would you suggest a person does in a case where he forgets what he's bought, the amount he forgot?
Can he give more and be mindful of the extra?
Yes.
Give more?
Good.
Give less?
More or less, yeah. Or whatever, but each side, whoever it is mindful of the.
You mean you have an agreement?
Yeah.
You have an agreement. Okay. There's a Minchas Yitzchak says something very interesting over here. That would be permissible, yes, if you have if both sides are mindful on it. But Minchas Yitzchak says something very interesting. You're allowed to give more. If you give more than what you receive, it's a problem with Ribbis. He says, no, because first of all, it's only a din d'rabbanan. And second of all, even though you're not mechuyev to give more, because really it's a motzi mechaver al over rai, if you think I owe you more, then you have to prove it to me that I actually owe you more. I can tell you, and I'm sad that I gave you exactly what I borrowed. But if I want to just be Meshur Sadin, give more because I want to make sure that I'm morally no longer obligated, I'm allowed to do that. I have a Shaila of Ribbis, but that's only a Drabbanan, and this Drabbanan of morally doing what I'm supposed to be doing overrides. That's the way the Minchas Yitzchak Paskins, and that's very interesting. Now, another side of Ribbis, you have to understand there's a difference between businessmen and personal. So we've talked about so far personal, neighbors, Heimish, you know, you bought some eggs, you bought some wine, whatever, back and forth, a little bit more, a little bit less. We're not so makbid. But businessmen, does that apply? Not really. For example, if somebody's borrowing 100 pounds of sugar, he's a sugar salesman, He's a merchant that sells in bulk sugar, and he lends, somebody comes up to him, he's also a merchant, and he says, listen, I'm short 100 pounds of sugar, and he borrows it at a certain price, and then when he comes to return it, it's gone up, the sugar, 1 or 2 pennies, that'll be also vrede. Because there, the merchants, and how do we say the merchants are very makbid about how they handle their money, and they're very makbid on every single cent that they return. So whatever we're saying over here is only in a private context, not in a public, not in a business sense at all. Excuse me? Both. We're talking about really the value. That's right, the variation price, the value, whether it is in quantity, I'm giving you more in quantity, therefore giving you more in value, or it's actually actual price, even though I'm giving you less in value, less in quantity, but the price is more, that's what's the most important over here. Oh, currency as well, yeah. There's no end to these shilas.
Didn't pop the answer to your question.
Yeah, so I guess.
Is that focused on returning a quantity or on returning the value?
It's both, right? Because if the quantity is more, the shilas probably solve. We have to make sure the quantity is the same and the value is the same. So you have to be very didactic to put the saga. There's other hetirim, yeshlo. What do you mean the value has changed? Oh, the price has gone up.
When the price changes, you can never match.
You mean it's impossible?
The value with the quantity.
Yeah, so that would really depend on the minig of Sochim. You know, so if they are not makpid a certain level, you know, there's a certain tier of where they're no longer makpid, you know, half a penny or you know, 1 penny, they're not makpid, and they do this often. It depends which industry and what's going on in that industry. I understand, yeah, that's it.
But I imagine with diamonds, it's much more complicated because
again, all this will be depending on every industry, will be different. You know, for example, the minute that it's brought down to Shulchan Aruch that in the minute by diamonds is the contractually obligated when you shake hands. And under industries, the shaking hand doesn't mean anything. That's not the normal practice of engaging in a contractual obligation whatsoever. You need a written written. So every example, every industry will be different. Now, okay, I think we're running out of time. We're here just going to see a few more shilas over here. So, what happens if you send a friend to buy something for you? Your friend tells you, I'm going to Tesco. Do you need anything? Yeah, sure, I need this, I need that. And he goes and he buys it for you. Is there any problem with Ribis over there? Of course. Because he's fronting the money for you. That means he's really lending you money, and therefore that friend has to be very careful. At that point, again, the dinim of friendship changes. Now the malven loive, you have to make sure that friend doesn't offer any favors at that point, tutoring his daughter or son for free, whatever the favor would be, have to be very, very careful at that point to realize that the relation changes. You can't offer any gifts at that point, and so on and so forth. That would be also. There's a shaila brought down in the Mefarshim about somebody who sent somebody to buy a lottery ticket. The person, the shliach, went to buy a lottery ticket. It was told by somebody to buy a lottery ticket. Then he found out the ticket was a winning ticket. The shaila was whether the shliach could keep the ticket. And he actually kept the ticket. He said, I'm not giving it back. I paid with my own money. I went to the store. I bought the ticket. So they went to Beis Din. And Beis Din paskin and said, no, but since you're a shliach, you're obligated to give that ticket that was purchased on behalf of the mishaleach. Therefore, you see that there's a contract over here between them. And therefore, all the dinim b'ribis would apply as well.
Oh.
So Rav Moshe Feinstein is a very famous tshuva about companies. That, see, Ribbis would not apply officially to, I say officially because a little bit complicated by goyim. By non-Jews, there's no problem of applying ribbis. And therefore, Moshe Feinstein says, since it's anonymous, a company is anonymous, therefore there's no problem with companies. The Mefarshim do explain that it depends on the shareholders. If the majority of the shareholders of the company are Jewish, that would be a problem. If the majority are non-Jewish, then that will be okay. That will be okay. So it depends really on the amount of shareholders over here. What happens if you borrow a car? You need a car. Do you mind? You go with your neighbor. Do you mind if I borrow your car? I just need to go, whatever, and come back. Is there any problem with the ribbon? What would you say?
Wear and tear, your special.
Okay.
What's the
ribbon? I'm asking, is there a shot of ribbon over here? I'm borrowing a car.
It says you put more stuff on this wall.
So let's establish, what are you borrowing in a car? You're borrowing a car? So you borrow the car, you return the car. You're not adding more to the car. If you, the wear and tear that you're using, you're giving less. So that's not a problem.
So what happens if
the petrol. So the petrol could be a problem.
I have to show you this. I bought the car from Rabbi Hussey when I just
bought. Yeah.
And the car broke down.
Right.
And had to pay the repair.
Yeah.
So, who's the highest for
repairs? All right, this is a more complicated
event. Anyway,
right, yeah. Crash this, you know, because it's not you that made it unless you crashed, but
yeah.
it's just to the wear and tear of the car. But there's no problem borrowing a car. You borrow the car, you return the car, you can actually, the person can charge you for borrowing the car. It's called renting. You know, you want to borrow my car, I can charge you money for that. It's not like you're borrowing and then I'm charging you.
Call Halashon.
Rather, there is a shot about the petrol. The petrol, you could kind of that you're borrowing petrol, I'm lending you petrol, and then you're returning more petrol than that. But that, they say, that people are not usually makpid. Well, obviously, it depends on the journey. You're going to empty out the entire tank. As long as you give back what you return, that shouldn't be a problem whatsoever.
Can I have the cartoon?
So,
I've got a dirty car and I'm returning a clean
one. You're returning a clean one, right. So, again, there's no lending here. You're not really lending in the context of ribbis. You're not really lending, and therefore there's no loan over here. It's more of a rental, rental which I'm not charging you for. There's a difference between a rental and things. So therefore, and hanon, which usually is osur, wouldn't apply in this case because since there's no loan. So again, cleaning and fixing, doing repairs to the car as well wouldn't be a problem in Hilchot Ribbis, again, because there's no real loan over here. So again, you have to, it's a gratitude, the it's over here, of returning more is a gratitude for the loan. We're talking about, this is the loan of a favor, I'm doing you a favor, you lent me something, and therefore I'm doing a favor because of the loan. But when people do it, it's just because they want to return what they want. And it's impossible to know exactly how much petrol, but they add a little bit more. So again, that would be insignificant and that would be no problem. Okay.
So in the same case, he gave it to me with an empty tank and I returned it to him with a full tank in order to show my gratitude.
Yeah. To show your gratitude. So that would be awesome. If you say specifically that it's there for gratitude of the loan, that would be no. Again, so it's not a loan, and therefore that should be no problem. Yeah. Who says that? Let me show you something. Mishnas Ribbis in Siman Vav. He writes that it's readily apparent to all that extra amount is added in gratitude for the use of the car, not for the gasoline. That's it. So as well as that, you're not borrowing the gasoline. He's giving you the gasoline because it's part of the giving you the car, borrowing the car. And since you're not returning it, you're not returning extra gasoline for the fact of borrowing the gasoline. You're only borrowing the car. That's fine. That's what he said. Now, obviously, this is talking about something when you're shopping. When you're shopping, you cannot, and you're a business owner, you cannot charge extra for credit. For example, you have all your goods, and you tell people, I have two prices. How much is this? Well, this is, it's £5 if you want to pay cash for it, but if you want to pay with credit, that'll be £7.50. If you're charging more for allowing a line of credit, that would be awesome.
Can you give a discount?
Can you give a discount for cash?
If I can pay cash now, I can.
Yeah, yeah, that's not a problem. I thought about it, because there's no loan over there. You take immediately for the product straight away. So there's no. Sir? What do you mean, what's the difference? If I give you this product without you paying for it. So I didn't catch it. Why do you think extra? Again. Yeah. £5.50 for cash. No, because the market value fluctuates, let's say. There's no fixed value for this. Some people say it's 4, some people at 7. So I have that leeway to purchase charge or whatever I want for cash. So as soon as you buy it, I give it to you, there's no loans here for cash. But there's no loan. Right. Yeah. That means you're not paying me any money. You're not paying me any. When you have credit, that's when you come into a problem of a loan. When you pay cash, doesn't matter what the price is. You buy it from me directly, and I give you the item. There's no loan. There's no shadows of living. That's not the next person. I can charge the next person as long as there's no problem or no. It's not 1/60th more than the market price, then there's no problem. Credit, that's when you come into a loan. Yeah, exactly. When we survey 9 or?
No.
Yeah. Okay, let me just tell you a quick quote. I thought it was very interesting. Moshe Sternbach says a very, very interesting shayla. Not a shayla, but rather, you know, a little bit of a takeaway for us here on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Steht in der Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, der Schloss ist zwar im Niftochim, Niftochim. So we have the Tzadikim, Gemurim, they are, the Nidim is Miyad, Nichtomim, Lechayim, the Rishayim are Nichtovim, Nichtomim, Le'ata, Le'misa, and the Beinanim, as we know, are Tzluim, Be'omim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Zohu, Nichtovim, Lechayim, Lo Zohu, Nichtom, Le'misa. So three different daggers over here. The Rishonim Asa Kasha, they're really puzzled over here. They say, state in the Gemara, that Rishonim Nichtovim V'Nichtomim Lemisa, Le'alta Lemisa. That means they dine right after Rosh Hashanah. In fact, the Rishonim, we don't see this. The reality is, if there's a lot of Rishonim walking after Rosh Hashanah, we don't see them dropping. There are lots of, and we know who the Rishonim are, right? People are not. So our mitzvah is not talking about the Tinnah Shanishba, but we're talking about people who know, and the Apple became, they're not doing Torah mitzvah, they don't die. So it's three-way machloek is Rishonim that I found. So somebody there's more, but I thought twice it says, there in the Gemara, in Rosh Hashanah Kazayin, that says, we're not talking about in this world that they're going to die. That means they're not going to have a chelik in Olam Haba. That's what he says. Now, even though I don't know how that fits into the words of the Gemara, Rishoyim Gemurim Nechtovim Nechtom Le'atal Nisa, it's talking about Olam Haba.
He says,
yeah, except for Rishoyim. You excluded yourself from Klal Yisrael at that point. That's your Rosh HaGomor. The Ravid in Hilchos Tshuva says something interesting as well. He says, we're not talking about this year. We're talking about Shinoisa. We're talking about his life in general. Kotsuyami, his life will shorten. So if he was supposed to live for 120 years old, 120 years, now he's going to only live for 60, 50, depends how much of a Rosha. We're looking at his life in general. Kotzav Yomi. That's the way he learns Pshat in the Gemara. Again, very difficult to fit that in the words. It seems to be Le'alta Le'misa. That means straight away he died. The Rambam, Taka says that. He says, the Rambam says, is Miyad Humeis Birush Birisho. That he dies straight away after Rosh Hashanah, straight away. So it comes back to the question then, what do you mean? We don't see the Rosh Hashanah actually dying straight away after Rosh Hashanah. What does that mean?
And they also have an opportunity to do
tshuva. Right, the Rosh Hashanah don't have the tshuva. We don't give them. Only Beinonim, they have the possibility to do tshuva until Yom Kippur. So the Shaila is, what about the Rambam? So what about, I thought Rav Moshe says a very interesting chiddush over here, and I think that's the takeaway for us as well, that he says over here that we're talking about the Rishayim, in the Gemara Brochas, the Rishayim b'chayim kruim mesim. The Rishayim, even though they're alive, they're called dead. It says Rav Moshe, that's what we're talking about. The whole, the answer, avoid of a yid is what? All the mitzvahs, if you look at them, is all towards dveikus b'Hashem. You put on tefillin to be dovek to Hashem. Shema, dovek to Hashem. Tefillah, dovek to Hashem. Shloch HaKan, you have to think of Hashem. Everything is towards pointing to be dovek to Hashem. A Rosha is netak. It's netak. It's like the vote by the Nachash, Nachash's Bereshit. The Hashem gives them a terrible curse. You're going to lose your legs, you're going to crawl on the floor, you're going to lick the offer, and that's it. The Mefarshim asks, what are you talking about? That's the best bracha in the world. This Nachash never has to worry every morning about Panasa. All he has to get up in the morning, crawl around the earth, and start licking the dirt. He's going to live forever, this Nachash. That's a bracha. That's not a klala. We got to work hard. That's what of our bracha for Panasa. So the Mefarshim says, no. But what happens now? He's cut off from Hashem. Hashem doesn't want to know. It's like the king giving a lifetime with a Panasa, to get away from me. I don't want to talk to you anymore. That is a call. That's what's happening over here. The Rishoyin, even though we see them prospering and receiving everything that they want, but really, they are no longer connected to Hashem. Hashem is netak. They no longer see any Hagosha of Ruchniyat and the Vekas of Hashem whatsoever.
Unless they want to shoot.
Exactly. What about us? What does that mean for us, the Beinonim? We're Tluyim Ad Yom Kippur. That's a voice is something interesting. He says, by us as well, we can tell. How do we know? We're Metzah or Metzah, right? We do one mitzvah, Kaila, Oilam, Haba. We do one Aveira, we're on the other side of the scale. So how do we know which side of the scale? So he says something interesting. He says, well, you can see in yourself. If the Gantz of all this, we have to be Dover to Hashem, we get more spiritual some years, and some years we get less spiritual. So you should know that when a person's feeling less spiritual, and less excited about Yiddishkeit, or maybe he's davening, he's getting a machshav, you have to understand that your dveikus b'Hashem is the memayim. That's Hashem giving you a sign in Hashemayim. Take care of your Yiddishkeit. Take care of your dveikus b'Hashem. And that is the whole world over here. That's miyad. We're talking about a ruchnis dveikus. That's Pshat Nigmar. I thank you very much. We wish you a gemach, a sinat Torah, a good gemesh to you.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.